This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5, the best sports strategy games available. You can get them today on Steam. You can get them right from OOTPDevelopments.com. If you can get them on Origin, you can get Out of the Park Baseball 18 on Discord. And if you are an Origin Access subscriber, that's just part of the package. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is our best-selling and really our best version ever of Out of the Park Baseball, and that's saying something considering all the awards that it's won. If you love strategy, if you love sports, if you love baseball, or if you just love really putting the pieces of a puzzle together any way possible, in any way that you want to define it, Out of the Park Baseball 19 is for you. And Franchise Hockey Manager 5 is really something special this year. We've had a tremendous amount of people playing the game and having a blast with it. Franchise Hockey Manager 5 available today on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com. And Out of the Park Baseball 19 available on Steam from OTPDevelopments.com, as well as EA's Origin and Origin Access. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Rich Grisham, I'm back. Brian Wiedeye here. We are back together for the first time, I think, in 2019, Rich. And I'm happy to be with you. We got some good news to talk about.
Yes.
And, well, I guess it depends on your perspective on whether the news is good or bad. But we'll be talking about news on MLB The Show 19. We're gonna talk a little bit about the NBA licensing deal with 2K Sports, and also what that might mean for EA Sports and NBA Live. We're going to talk about Out of the Park Baseball a little bit, and your simulation and analysis that was done for the website 538. And we'll also run down the winners from the Pasta Pottery Community Awards. We didn't have a chance to talk about that since the results came in a few weeks ago. How you doing, Rich? What have you been up to? It's great to get to catch up with you again and get things rolling here in 2019.
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm very excited. I always love talking to you. Been playing a lot of great sports games lately. It's not going to be a lot new for those who haven't been listening recently. I'm continuing to play FIFA 19. I thought that after concluding my second season or my second campaign or second year, I would probably be done, but no, I'm now well into my third season of playing Everton and rebuilding them and turning them from a, at best, a mediocre club. And in the real world right now, they're kind of sinking even below mediocrity. They're not going to be relegated this year, but they're not going to finish in the top 10. It's kind of a yet another lost season for Everton. But in my world, in the year 2020, Brian Wiedeye, my Everton in year three of my campaign are currently the defending Premier League champs and the defending Europa League champs. Now, I got to tell you, my first year, I finished in fifth place. I had a chance to win the league, but ultimately finished in fifth place. And that got me qualified into the Europa League. And just right out of the Champions League. In year two, on the very final day of the season, I trailed Tottenham Hotspurs by 1 point. Very final day of the Premier League season, trailed Tottenham Hotspurs by 1 point. But I had a great goal differential. So if I could somehow win my final match and they would draw or lose their final match, I would win the Premier League. And wouldn't you know, that's exactly what happened, Brian. I won my match, and they tied their match, and I won the Premier League in my second year, which was
great.
I was not expecting to do it, but on the other hand, I had gotten so close. If I hadn't been able to win it, would have been really
that's cool ridiculous. Though. Correct me if I'm wrong, but on the final day, all the matches are played at the same time.
That's
right?
Correct.
So you're
exactly.
Did you
right.
have tell me, presentation-wise, did you have anything indicating what was going on in the other game at the same time?
I did not.
Wasn't a scrolling scoreboard or anything?
No, I don't think there was. I don't think there was. But I did know when the match ended that I had won the Premier League because they had the trophy presentation.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
So It was great. And then, like, 3 days later, I played in the Europa League finals. And for those who don't know what the Europa League is, it's the, you know, it's the second tier of the Champions League. The Champions League takes the best clubs from across Europe, and Europa is like, okay, well, not good enough for the Champions League, but, you know, you're still a big deal, so we'll play in this, you know, European football competition. And I won that, which automatically grants you, gives you access to the Champions League the following season. But because I had not only won the Premier League, but even finishing the top four, I would have done it anyway. But it was still nice to win two championships within 3 game days of each other. Especially in a game like FIFA, where, Brian, I mean, I've been playing for years, and it's taken me a long time to get where I can, on the standard levels, play at this kind of level. And I've bought a lot of players, you know, by winning some matches and using, you know what, I'll say this, I don't think I've ever talked about it, Brian, I don't even know what they're called, but you know the currency in FIFA?
Coins?
I have hundreds of thousands of coins that I have never used because I don't ever have a need to use them. I don't know if they're the same currency for Ultimate Team. Are they? Or that's a different currency in Ultimate Team. I don't even know. But anyway.
I don't know off the top of my head.
But anyway, I went in there and just poked around what I could get. And you can get some really cool stuff for the franchise mode or for whatever it's called. And including one of them is you get a new owner who gives you a giant, you know, opens the pocketbook for money. I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a lot of fun. I won these leagues doing it this way. And now I want to go be like, you know, one of the big boys and just sign everybody. So I used that. And then I went out and because now what I want to do in my third year is win the Premier League and win the Champions League. I want to win both of them. And to do that, you kind of need to have two teams. You can't just have 11 players and win both of those competitions. Right, exactly. Because you play a game on a Saturday and then on a Tuesday or a Thursday and then another Saturday or a Sunday. And you do this for 2 or 3 weeks at a time when you're playing in the Premier League and the Champions League, as well as you've also still got things like the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup too. So, you know, you really want to have two teams, or, you know, you're going to kind of say, all right, well, I'll give it a go, but I'm just really not putting myself in position to win this or that. So I've signed a bunch of players that, you know, would never, ever, ever in any universe be in Everton. People like Memphis Depay and Rafinha and Eric Dier and Koke and Doucouré and Thauvin and Harry Maguire and Bailly and Mendy. Like, all of these guys, I've bought basically a completely new team. So what I've got is a lot of my, like, original, the original Everton guys make up sort of my second team squad that goes and plays in whatever the less important matches, and then I've got my super team that I put in into whichever. And the way that I'm trying to do it is I'm trying to send my top team into all the Champions League matches, because that's really, you know, that's even harder and more prestigious to win. But what's weird is, even, I mean, and I'm sure it's a level of competition, but in my group play of the Champions League, I've won one and drew three. I played 4 of the 6 so far, so I'm still in okay shape. But even though I'm putting my best team out there, I'm not dominating as I would like to. But the good news is my backups have done well enough for me that I'm only like 1 point out of first place in the Premier League, even though my backup club has had to sort of play the last 2 or 3 Premier League. So I just keep having a lot of fun playing FIFA 19, Brian. It's just, for whatever reason, it's got me. It's really fun, and I'm good enough at it to where, you know, I still may lose some games, but I win a lot more than I lose, and I can, you know, when I really want to be able to, I can score. You know, I use tactics, not crazy in depth, but I use tactics, and it's just great. I've continued to love FIFA 19. Just love it.
So I've got a game I want to talk about briefly, by the way, one that I'm pretty sure you haven't played. It just came out called Spike Volleyball. Are you familiar with that?
I have seen the announcements, and I would love to hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak too much on it. I haven't put a whole lot of time into it, and I'm not planning on doing like a full review. I don't have really, I think, the knowledge of the sport to put together a review, but I can give you some thoughts on it. So This game, it's got all national teams. I don't know if the players are real, but it's got all the national squads. It's fairly easy to get the hang of. It's not necessarily a tutorial, but it gets you started on what you got to do button-wise and timing-wise. When you get those things down and you score a point, you feel good about it until you kind of look and everything almost seems random. It's like I hit it hard. I directed where I wanted to go, but whether the player on the other team actually makes a good effort at returning it is questionable. So it feels a little random. The visuals are pretty dated. There's a lot of visual glitches in the replays, especially where it looks like my player did a flip and hit the ball with their feet, and it was legal. They all jump ridiculously high. Again, in the gameplay, it looks almost okay, but in the replays, it looks really bad. I had my daughter who plays volleyball watching as I played some of it, and she was pointing out a lot of things that she was like, they're not supposed to do that. Uh-oh. That's not supposed to happen.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, okay, all right.
Not good.
But she still thought it was kind of cool that it was a volleyball game.
Oh, good. Well, there you go.
So, I mean, it's got a little something to it. Like I said, there is a career mode. I haven't gone into that yet. And I don't remember what the price is on this. But, yeah, I mean, it's you can tell it's from an independent studio. But, you know, again, I like giving it a chance. It's something new. And we like these different types of sports games, something that you know, we're not seeing every year. And so I thought it was all right. I don't know if I would want to pay $40 or whatever it might be. You know, if you're looking for something that's going to realistically represent the sport, it's probably not it. If you're looking for something that's really well refined and accurate and looks good, it's not really going to be it. But I did, like I said, have moments where I was like, all right, that was cool. That felt good. So that's my early thoughts on Spiked Volleyball. I'm going to play it some more. I'm going to try out the career mode and stuff, but, it's, you know, it's got a ways to go, but it's not terrible for a first effort, I'd say. Again, it depends on what the price is. And I think it'll probably drop down pretty quick one way or another.
What system are you playing it on?
Xbox One.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I have the Xbox One X, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Long loading times, and it looks like it could be a mobile game or a PS2 game or something. I mean, it's not necessary, and that doesn't ruin it for me necessarily. I didn't care. I went into it. I'm like, all right, this looks whatever. It's volleyball. So could it, you know, look better? Sure. But it didn't. That wasn't what caused me my issues. Some of the visual glitches and just how the results seem more random than they should. Although I haven't tried, it's not like I've tried to turn up the difficulty level to, and you know, maybe in those situations, the AI is better. It's all very, static. So you can jump at the net to try to block, but when you do that, every one of your players at the net jump at the exact same time and to the exact same height. It's just kind of roughness like that. And you can shift them, but they all move at the same time and they have trouble, reacting. And, you know, it's just got a ways to go, but, it's not a terrible effort. And it has its moments, at least so far. But, I wouldn't be able to recommend it or anything based on what I've played so far.
I have also been playing a nice amount of the Golf Club 2019.
Yeah.
A few episodes ago, our friend Mark Foley made the case for it, and I said, all right, I'm going to do it. And I spent $60 on the Golf Club 2019, and I play it. I try to play around every night. It doesn't happen, but it happens 3 to 4 nights a week. Because you can play around of the golf club.
They're pretty quick.
Yeah, you can do it in a half an hour easily, you know? And you can also take longer if you want to as well. As you know, Brian, I tend to be a let's move, let's go, let's do this, come on, let's go, let's do this kind of a guy when it comes to playing games. So I enjoy the fact that I can really play the golf club quickly, but still consider everything and make the adjustments. And I got to say, I really like a lot about the Golf Club 2019, which is not surprising because I really liked a lot about the original Golf Club and its follow-up. It's not easy, but it's the easiest version. I'm pretty good at it. I will have some terrible rounds. By the way, all I'm doing is playing the career mode. So I just, you know, created my golfer and started my PGA Tour career, which had me sort of have a little bit of tutorial, then some qualifying, then sort of the minor league tour, the web.com, I think what it is. And now I made the PGA Tour. And about not even halfway, but I just won the Waste Management Open. It was my first tour victory on the PGA Tour. And the Waste Management Open actually just happened, I think, last week. So I'm in the calendar almost real time. And by the way, I had never really seen much from the Waste Management Open, but it's a unique golf event with all sorts of interesting things, including around one of the holes, a par three. I think it's the 16th. There's basically a stadium built around the hole, and it's really wild. And I saw it on TV a couple days ago, and then seeing it in the game was just really fascinating. They did a great job with that, with the Phoenix PGA Tour course. Obviously, it's one of the licensed courses in the game. So I really enjoy the game. I just enjoy playing it. Like, I enjoy swinging the golf club. I'm good at teeing off. I'm pretty good with irons. I've learned how to use the kind of adjustments that I want to use. There's more that I could do that I don't do because I'm a little scared, but I certainly do some adjustments with sort of like not really draws or fades, but certainly with loft and with the type of shot. I'm terrible at chipping, and I'm surprisingly good at putting. You know, putting is sort of the make or break for a lot of people with the golf club franchise. And I'm pretty good with putting. I still miss more than I make, but I'm pretty good. And so this has been the easiest of all of these to play. It just feels a little more forgiving, a little friendlier to me. Now, having said that, it's still a challenge. And in fact, I got
it. It'll still kill you.
Absolutely, right? It's not easy. Some of the courses you can get some nice low scores, but I mean, I also know that there are people who are massive experts at this game who are playing on a completely different level. All I'm doing is playing the PGA Tour career. What'll be interesting is after I play through a full season, what I'm going to want to do, because you're not really leveling up your golfer. You know, you're sort of, you know, you're playing golf to play golf and when championships, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But after playing the same couple of courses, I don't know whether I'm going to have long-term appeal in the PGA Tour. But as Mark said, that may not be sort of what I would want to do anyway. You can get involved online with people of your level really easily in the golf club. So I may look into sort of doing things where it's not like time-based and over a course of a week you can play and participate and stuff like that. So, but it is the one thing is, like, when I won the tournament, the Waste Management Tournament Open, it was so weird. I wasn't even sure that I had won it, because what happened was it was a classic tale of golf. I was 3 under heading into the 17th hole, and I just had a disastrous 17th hole. And when I was 3 under, I was also 2 shots ahead of the second of the person behind me. So I was up 2 shots with 2 holes to go. You cannot screw this up. And I had a disastrous in the water twice double bogey on 17. Just catastrophic. Which dropped me down to 1 under, which tied me. And then on the 18th hole, I parred it. And I assumed that there would be either a playoff or I would have lost to somebody who would have gotten a birdie, you know, the person who was tied with me. But then afterwards, I sort of heard like what sounded like congratulations music. But there was no like, "Didn't you have won?" But for some reason, even though I finished tied with one other person, I won the Waste Management Open. I don't know why. I barely knew that I had won it. I had to check like 3 times. Because I, you know, it had me at the top and somebody else next, right under me with the same score. And then I looked at my trophy case, and I had the trophy for winning the Waste Management Open, and then it was clear that I was the winner, but I don't know how. There was no playoff hole. I was tied with somebody with the score, so it was bizarre. And there's still just a lot of bare bones around that kind of stuff. So, you know, they could use some help with the UI. I don't love it. But, I mean, overall, I'm really enjoying the golf club. The big choice I'll sort of have to make, and what may make me sort of continue just to play, perhaps single player on the PGA Tour careers, I'm playing with the standard clubs and with the advanced clubs. There's more opportunity to drive it farther and do stuff, but I also know that those are much less forgiving. And I'm playing it on the PS4 because, you know, Mark said he thought that the controller was better for it, and so far I think he's right. Playing it on the PS4 Pro has been really good. So I'm really enjoying the Golf Club 2019. I mean, not like 5 stars, but, you know, 4.25 stars. Like, I'm enjoying it, having fun. You know, spent the $60 and feel like that was, you know, because I don't really buy that many games anymore, Brian. Most of the stuff I get through services or things like that, I don't buy a whole lot of new games. So to lay out $60, but I would say that it's worth the $60. No doubt.
Any other games to run through, or should we move on?
Well, I keep playing my NBA 2K19 with the Celtics. So, you know, the real-world Celtics are kind of off the
video game Celtics. They're a
disaster. Yeah, the video game Celtics are fantastic, and I just really enjoy playing the franchise mode in that. That's it.
Okay. So real quick, before we get to the topics, then I wanted to ask you, have you watched any of the Alliance of American Football this weekend?
No, I've seen little clips of it here and there on Twitter, and people celebrating devastating hits on quarterbacks, and I've seen some names. Saw Trent Richardson's name, for example, scoring a touchdown. So I've seen little bits on social media, but that's it.
It was pretty good. I'm already getting people asking me if somebody can make a video game for it. Like, it's a little premature on that. But yes, I think AAF, it's hard for me to say that for some reason, AAF, and potentially XFL, I think you could see licenses picked up for those games, just like Arena Football at one point had a game, especially since, like you said, Rich, there are some recognizable names, people who have been in the NFL or have been college stars that get some of that. Of course, if they're really good, they're just going to get snatched up by an NFL team. But the games were fairly well played. I mean, they've only had, I think they said, 5 weeks of practice. And so things like the offensive line struggled a little bit. But there were some good offensive performances. And then I know none of these teams are in your city, Rich, but you could have a rooting interest here. Maybe it's Birmingham for you, but each of these teams are an affiliate of an NFL team. So each team has 4 NFL teams that are linked to them. And for your Eagles, Rich, that's the San Antonio Commanders. And for my Seahawks, it's the Salt Lake Stallions.
Gotcha.
So Salt Lake is my squad now, and they just lost to Arizona, who looks really good, actually. Their quarterback was really good. But the games were pretty entertaining. Everything on Twitter was mostly surprisingly positive. People are like, wow, that was actually pretty good. We're at this point in the year, Rich, where I think we may have talked about it at some point not long ago.
It's tough. It's tough. Oof, it's tough.
It is. We're before baseball.
Yep.
Okay. We got, you know, spring training eventually coming up here, but basketball, it doesn't matter to the playoffs. Nope. I mean, really.
Although
basketball.
The Nets
March,
are fun. Yeah. The Nets are good for the first time in years. It's been fun seeing them be good. But still, yeah, February basketball and hockey is not, you know, the hot time of the year for either of these sports. It's very much standard fare.
If you remember when the XFL won season, I don't know, how long ago was that? Early 2000s. They were doing that during the NFL season. Here we've got AAF, which has started up now, and XFL next year, which are going to be in this downtime, in this off season time. So I think they have the potential to be something, or at least be kind of a minor leagues or something. And look, It's pretty good football. It wasn't that bad, you know. It's better than some college games. These guys are professionals, or they've been through college. They've got experience. So it's not just people they pulled off the street. The games were fairly entertaining. They got some cool rules, rule changes, Rich. I'm not sure how familiar you are with them, but I bet you the NFL adopts a few of them. So there's no kickoffs. Onside kicks, there are no onside kicks. Instead, you can have, I think it's a 4th and 12 at your own 28 or something like
That's
that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. That is fantastic because onside kicks are just, nobody.
It's pointless now. I don't think there were any of them in the first four games attempted, unless it happened. I didn't see it. But what it does is so in the very first game that I was watching, which was San Diego and San Antonio, San Diego was down by 2 possessions late in the game. They were driving. They were about to score a touchdown. They ended up throwing an interception in the end zone. But if they had scored a touchdown, instead of, okay, here comes a onside kick with a 7% chance of success, it would have been, all right, here comes a 4th and 12 with, you know, a 30% chance of success or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and then they keep
it.
Rolling. So it added some intrigue to the end of the game. That was pretty good sign of things. And from what I saw, people did not miss the kickoffs. The games were a lot faster. I think instead of 3 or 3.5 hours, these games were done in 2.5 hours. They've got a shorter play clock, fewer commercial breaks. Again, they're removing the kickoffs. They have an extra referee that's like they call a sky judge who can correct things. And then they had on challenges, they went into the booth and you could hear the challenge official.
Yeah.
Talking it over with the referee on what they're seeing and what they're going to call and why they're calling it. It was really neat. So there's a lot of stuff, just like the XFL created the Skycam, and then the NFL adopted that. There's going to be stuff from these other leagues that it's almost experimental in a way. So just kind of cool. Also, there's no extra points. Just 2-point conversions. That's something.
So you don't have kickers at all, or do they have field goals?
No, they do. Okay. They can still kick field goals, can still punt, but that's all the kickers do is kick field goals.
Gotcha.
So it reduces their value, I guess, a little bit. But, I mean, it makes the games quicker and more entertaining. So just a lot of cool stuff. I just thought I'd bring that up because it was kind of one of the big sports developments of the weekend, is that it was actually pretty successful and a lot of people were skeptical. And I don't know if you saw the ratings, but it got like 2.7 million viewers, which is pretty good. It even beat ABC's broadcast of the Rockets Thunder in prime time. So people love football.
Well, yeah, people love football. I love football. It's so funny, Brian, I'm old. So it's like story time with Rich. But I remember when I was a kid and the USFL came out, I loved it. Loved it. I was so excited. Spring football, big names, New Jersey Generals, like a New Jersey team, right? No, you know, that was great. Loved it. So I'm rooting for the Alliance. If people watch it, that's great. Because if people watch it, then that means they got a shot. I'm not going to invent a new affinity for some Midwestern or Southwestern team that, you know, I'm not being whatever. I'm just like, you know, I've got a full plate of sports attention. And
I'll tell
not
you though,
add football to it. But I don't mean that in a cynical way. Like, I'm just not, you know, I would have a hard time watching. Like sitting down and watching a game for a brand new league with having no history, no investment, and having no affiliation locally, remotely, even at all.
I will point this out though, because again, you're an Alabama fan, so
I am.
The Birmingham team, the way the AAF is doing this is they're prioritizing is the right word, but they're kind of like shifting people that
local,
are of
right?
interest. So,
right.
so like Trent Richardson is on Birmingham,
right?
So they did that kind of across the board where the San Diego team is going to have, you know, more local players, as at least they're going to try and bring them together. And so it does, I think, have a little bit of that flavor where, okay, I do look, this guy's from my college, you know, okay, cool. Or this team is connected with the Seahawks. Okay, cool. no, I'm not sitting here living and dying on every play like I am in a Seahawks game.
I don't even mean yeah. living and dying. Like, I literally mean, like, with anything, I think, anyway, with a lot of people, there has to be some sort of stakes to it.
Yes.
Right? Whether they are important or not, something. And it's just hard for me to to say I'm going to hang out and watch something for a couple of hours, you know, where I just don't have any, there's no stakes at all. And I can't even invent them in my head other than, oh, look, it's football. Like, I'm not so desperate for football that I would do that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And it takes, oh yeah, absolutely. It takes years and years to do that. I think I would compare it to MLS where, I follow Sounders. I love the Sounders. I don't get devastated when they lose. I enjoyed when they won the MLS Cup. It was cool. But it wasn't like winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But with the MLS, it's similar to this where, okay, MLS is maybe a step ahead of this because I have a team that I'm connected to.
Right.
But again, it's like, do I watch non-Sounders MLS games? No.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the kind of the next step that MLS has to take where everybody watches every NFL game, right?
Yep.
Whether it's your team or not, because it affects your team or you fantasy football or whatever. So it's getting to that that point where, yeah, you have to get people connected to a team, and then you also have to get them to care about the other teams in some regard, or this other games in some regard, to grow beyond a certain point. Eh, we'll see. I mean, I think there's a potential for a second league or a third. I don't know about third, but a second effective league that can, you know, draw viewers and draw interest and.
Well, it's also an interesting dichotomy because participation in football is going to continue to go down significantly. So it's almost strange in that you sort of, you know, the NFL continues to be one of the most profitable organizations in the world, even though the sport is undergoing a lot of, you know, just from a pure health issue, right? Concussions and things like that. And and we know that youth participation is declining and, you know, and there's a lot of areas where the sort of ways to play football are changing, not maybe full contact 11 on 11, but like 7-on-7s or things like that. So it'll be interesting to see whether there will be enough, you know, enough supply for the demand of professional football on a level that can approach the NFL. Because, you know, if you watch, when you watch the NFL versus college versus high school, there's, you know, the difference is just it's galaxies apart. And I don't know, I think it's going to be hard to produce a level of football of equality, especially as I think sort of the funnel may not fill up as much as it would have years ago too. I don't know, it's interesting, you know, with football being analyzed so closely for its for the what it physically takes from its players, it's almost interesting for a new one to sprout up. You would think if anything, they wouldn't be adding football now, but now you got this and the XFL. Strange.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's a weird sort of, not a paradox, but you know what I'm saying? Like a couple of trends in very different directions, I guess.
Absolutely. All right. Rich, let's talk about some gaming stuff. MLB The Show 19, which comes out at the end of March. We're finally getting stuff on it. This is typically the time of year where MLB The Show starts promoting for its upcoming release, early February, that is. And we got its info release schedule. We got its first trailer. As usual, the first trailer, not really going to tell you a whole lot about the game. It's more flash than substance. But the info release schedule tells us a lot. We also got confirmation that online franchise will not return. That was a feature that was removed for MLB The Show 18. What would you like to hit on here, Rich, as far as MLB The Show 19 goes? You want to talk online franchise first? This is the big, kind of the big news that has come out about the game. And it's weird because I didn't think it was that big. It generated a lot of reaction. I didn't think it was that big because developers don't take a feature out 1 year to bring it back the next year, right? We knew this wasn't coming back, but I think it's just people seeing it in writing and confirmed and want to express that they're still disappointed by that.
Yeah, it's it makes a lot of sense. You know, I would love to know the people who are disappointed, the ratio of the people who say they're disappointed versus the ratio of people who actually played in online franchises. And I don't mean that in a cynical way. It's a legitimate question. Because I don't get the sense there were a lot of online league players, because we tried it a few times. And once it worked well for a while, but the rest of the time it just didn't. And it's not just the technical aspects, but the just the logistical aspects of playing a baseball online franchise. It just demands so much in the terms of time, and it's the whole thing is so challenging. There are definitely ways that you could come up with ways for people to play online in competitions that wouldn't necessarily have to be an online franchise, because there's just an incredibly enormous amount of data and resources that go into running one of those things. So, yeah, it's a shame. I can't imagine there were hundreds of thousands of people that were doing
it. No, there's not. But we always go back to, you know, the foundation of especially MLB The Show, and I think NBA 2K also, the foundation of where did these franchises come from? Who were their biggest supporters then versus now? Yeah. Like, where did they grow from?
Yeah.
And MLB The Show was absolutely a hardcore baseball fan group of consumers who loved the purity of the game, of the sport, and how accurately it was represented, and how they could play a full-on franchise, right? Then we're going back a decade or whatever before Diamond Dynasty. This is what it built from in NBA 2K. It was the authenticity. It was tying it in with, you know, cultural relevance and everything that just, you know, helped it explode. And then them tapping into that with like Michael Jordan and legends and stuff. And so you have to go back to that, because if you lose those people, right, and that's how they're seeing this. And I can't blame them or even fault them for that. They're seeing this as, you know, a nail in the coffin to the non-revenue generating modes, right? Because as you said, they can find a way to create online competition type thing. And, you know, and it's not even being cynical. I think it's realistic to say it's more likely Diamond Dynasty will get some kind of a league format before we see an online franchise, right? And I can't blame the publisher for prioritizing that way, because that's where the money's coming from. But at the same time, I do think you will lose some of those people who have been around from the start. And that's something I think when they look at their numbers, they can sacrifice. They're willing to sacrifice that. It's maybe not the best long-term way to look at it, because eventually, you know, I think the Diamond Dynasty crowd's probably more fickle. And I still think there's going to be the day when people get tired. It's gone on longer than I thought it would already. But the day that when people get tired of paying hundreds and thousands of dollars to play a mode where 12 months later they have to do that all over again. But we haven't reached that point yet. So online franchise, it's a disappointment. It's just not a surprise to me. And I think, you know, Madden and NBA 2K are the only ones that do it. And I don't know how long they're going to support that. If they have to revamp their franchise modes, they'll probably cut it too. I mean, it's disappointing. It's unfortunate, because that's how I would prefer to play, but it hasn't worked out that way.
Well, I mean, you made a number of assumptions in those statements.
Thank you.
but I mean, I think, I don't know that you necessarily lose a lot of people because you don't have online franchising for the second year in a row. Now, there may be a number of people who decide not to, and I've seen them, you know, tweet, "I'm not buying it because of this." So, okay, unless that's the only way that you play the game, I would hate that would, I don't know, maybe voting with your wallet is the most important thing that a consumer can do. So I totally get it. On the other hand, it just feels like if you're that upset about online, you know, if you want to play baseball on a console, this is your only real option. I mean, to play anything other than an arcade game. And there's so much that's so good about MLB The Show. You know, I'm not going to kill him for doing something like that. I wish that it was in there. I really do. I would love to once again give a shot. You, me, Gus, TJ, Chris, you know, do something. See if we can make it a go. I'd love to do that, but it, you know, I don't know. There's so much going on in MLB The Show. I got to believe that, you know, and I've heard that the NBA 2K online leagues don't work after the end of the first season. So, you know, I don't know that for a fact, but that's been, I've seen it, you know, reported in a few different places. So, you know, sometimes it's probably better to, you know, to maybe just not have something that doesn't work. I don't know. It's very difficult. I totally get the side of being upset, and I totally get the side of trying to deliver an annual installment of a massive game. That is, in so many ways, so good. It's tough.
All right, so, yeah. So, as for what the game is going to have, Rich.
Yeah.
A few things here, and then you can point out if there's anything you want to hit on. So, we've got reference to overhauled defensive intelligence. Look, okay, before I go through these things, note that a lot of this we hear every year. And it's because they are constantly trying to tweak and improve upon AI and hitting engines. And, you know, like it's never going to be perfect. So every year they're going to be working on these things. Okay. Overhauled defensive intelligence, hitting advancements. They're going to have, of course, another big focus on Road to the Show. Another big focus on Diamond Dynasty, which it looks like they're going to have a new mode within that called Moments, which are probably historical moments being replayed. Diamond Dynasty multiple lineups, which would be a big improvement versus just having one static lineup. Brand new mode called March to October. Now, this is in the area where they're also going to talk about presentation and franchise mode. So March to October, could it be? I've seen speculation that it could be something like the return of season mode. If you remember, last year, season mode was taken out of the game. So it wasn't just online franchise. Season mode was taken out. And that was a big deal, especially because they didn't tell anybody they took it out. Nobody knew until they had the game in their hands. March to October. So, you know, that could be like the March to October, or is it the month of March to the month of October, which I think would frame a season mode potentially. Even though we go into November, people still think of it as October. And then more Diamond Dynasty. So what do you think, Rich?
Well, I would be interested in any sort of new twist they can put on something that would interest me other than what I know I'm going to do, which is to player lock as a good hitter on the Mets and try to see if I can't once again defy reality and win a championship with the New York Mets. That's all I'm going to do. So now if there's something really, really cool and awesome and fun that's new, great. I don't play Diamond Dynasty. I don't have the stick skills to play. That's, you know, again, continues to be, I go up and down and up and down over time. I just could not play the show very well last year. It was the least I played it in the last few years, and it was more me than the game. I couldn't hit ever, and it just got to be completely not fun. I'm hoping it's better this year for me. So that's what I'm going to do. So none of those things sound particularly revolutionary, and I'm not criticizing them for that. They don't need to revolutionize it. I know how I'm going to pick it up and play it. So that's where I'm focused.
Game All right. Play. Yeah. Yeah, sure. So we'll see how this goes. Still got a ways to go and a lot of information to get. Nothing here that's going to blow me or I think anyone away. You know, last year's issues were primarily gameplay related, which was unusual for the show. That's generally thought of as one of the best in gameplay, within the genre. So, we'll have to see, you know, that was a big focus of their alpha that they ran was the gameplay stuff. So hopefully that they deliver on getting that back to where it needs to be, and then we'll see what they're doing mode-wise coming up. Rich, let's also let's shift to NBA. Okay, 2K Sports announced a 7-year extension of 2K Sports and the NBA announced a 7-year extension of the licensing deal, which is, of course, it's the NBA license. So it's not just NBA 2K. It also counts now NBA Playgrounds. They have an online game called NBA 2K Online in China. And they've got multiple mobile apps and, of course, the NBA 2K League, esports league. So 7 years, $1.1 billion is the price tag on that, breaking down to about $157 million a year. And that's a lot of money. And you could say it's an exclusive, you're right at that level of an exclusive of what you're paying for. It is not an exclusive, but effectively it's an exclusive. They're probably pricing NBA Live out here. Although this is based on that $1.1 billion, is based on how much 2K is selling. So it's not like that's the price for the license. It's not like EA Sports has to pay $1.1 billion to have the NBA license. It would be much, much lower for NBA Live because they are not generating the revenue that 2K Sports is. But it does kind of put things into perspective. Again, the NBA loves 2K Sports because they're promoting their brand and their reach has become so phenomenal and so great that they're just, you know, as far as partners go, as good as it's going to get. NBA Live doesn't sell. You're talking about NBA 2K selling $10 million a year plus millions and millions in digital revenue, and then NBA Live selling maybe 100 or 200,000 copies. So, you know, it just brings up again, we didn't think, at least I didn't think NBA Live would last this long. I know you're of the belief that NBA Live is being kept around to beef up the portfolio that EA has as far as subscription services go. And of course, there's also digital revenue from an Ultimate Team that they're trying to get, but people have to buy, of course, the game to get that far. I don't think this means the end of NBA Live necessarily, but it just, again, puts into perspective the how they're operating on two different planes, right? This is NBA 2K, hugely successful beyond what anybody would have imagined a decade ago. And NBA Live just an also-ran, almost, you know, almost irrelevant.
It's really, it's fascinating how well coordinated and how strategically important video games are to the NBA. Because this wouldn't happen, I don't think, in any of the other leagues. This kind of exposure, of announcement, of dollar amount. I mean, I can't even comprehend the terms of the agreement. $1 billion. I mean, that is wild. And again, as you said, it's not like they write a $1 billion check. No, that's not what's happening. But over the course of the term, it right. is theoretically plausible for that to be the amount of money that Take-Two pays the NBA, and by the way, they will be still making a handsome profit if that were to be the case.
Of course.
It's just staggering. And it's, as somebody who would love for something like this to happen, you know, for other kinds of reasons, you know, in other kinds of games, it's just unbelievable to see. I mean, it really just shows you how smart the NBA is. And I think how good NBA 2K is that they would do this. I couldn't see something like this happening with other leagues and franchises. And
right.
It just, again, like you said, it just shows the power of the NBA 2K brand and the NBA brand are just supremely popular and dominate in a lot of ways, except maybe in TV ratings. That's the only place, you know, the NFL still sort of beats them. But in the video game world, they're number one. And this is you know, we always say, what is NBA 2K going to do? My thought is they're going to keep doing very imaginative, different kinds of things. I think of all the others that are doing what they're doing, as the track record has shown, NBA 2K will continue to take risks and do things differently and be bold and be huge and get a lot of things right and get some things wrong like everybody does. But yeah, it's just the whole deal is so astounding in so many ways. And, you know, again, I love business and the business of video games and the business of sports video games. Love it. Love learning about it, being involved in it, reading about it. And this, to me, is just the coolest thing and most staggeringly, almost incomprehensibly large thing. It blew my mind when I saw it. And I believe that EA will continue to have the NBA license to make their EA Access, which I believe they've announced they want to get onto. Well, they haven't said they want to get it onto Sony, but they've said they want to get it on major third-party providers, which is the only one left is Sony.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that there, if you want to sell your services, you need to have content, and the NBA is content. So I continue to believe that EA is going to keep NBA alive specifically because they understand that delivering content over the next 5 to 10 years is going to be very different than it used to be. At some point, we're going to go in a different direction with how these games are made, packaged, and sold, and they want to keep the NBA in their portfolio one way or another.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to – the other point I wanted to make. 7 years, that's a long time. That will take us through potentially – the entirety of the next generation of consoles, Rich. And think about how different the landscape of gaming.
We don't
was.
Even know what that's going to mean either.
Yeah. You're right, right.
Yeah. No, so. It, that's what I mean. Like, it's so forward thinking. This is strategic partnership between a league and a video game maker in a way that you don't see others. And I just think it shows how smart the NBA is in understanding that video games are a marketing tool. It's not just a revenue source. It is a marketing tool.
That's what Madden used to be. You remember, like 20 years ago? It was the whole idea was you get people into the game and they become fans of the sport. They understand it better. I think they lost that somewhere along the way. And NBA still has that way to connect to people the way that we're not really seeing it from the other leagues.
Or, again, at least not in the way to where they'll get up and publicly announce these kinds of deals that are nothing but mutually beneficial. I mean, if this doesn't put rocket fuel in the engines of the Take-Two team, I mean, again, I think they're going to really redefine what a licensed sports video game is over the next few years in ways that – and I hope they do. Like, they've got a lot of really creative people there. You know, they may be able to blow the doors off this thing because of this. They kind of almost, in a way, have to, right? They really got to do some big, bold things based on this. And I think they will.
Yeah. And then they're in a position where they can do that.
Absolutely.
So, Rich, I wanted to hear you talk a little bit about, you guys did something with 538, which is a website I read mostly for political stuff, but they do a lot of analytical stuff, right? It's mostly analytics at 538. And they ran a piece that had to do with Out of the Park Baseball and with the two big free agents who are still unsigned, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. Tell me about that, what you guys learned from that, and how that all came to pass.
Well, we've been really, it's been great. I've spoken to Neil Payne, who is the author of the piece, a few times over the years. And once we established a relationship, we had chatted about how Out of the Park could maybe run some simulations based upon some ideas and thoughts that he had. And we've done this a couple of times in the past, including an article about Ryan Howard, you know, did the shift kill Ryan Howard? And we ran some things to help with that, as well as some others. But this was the biggest thing we'd ever done. And this took a while, and it took some back and forth, and it took some really hard work from a bunch of guys at Out of the Park Developments who I appreciate. But basically, the gist is, all right, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are going to sign with somebody and play baseball for somebody for the next 5 to 6 to 7 years. So why don't we just see what'll happen, whether, you know, with any of the teams that are legitimately possible. So the White Sox, the Cardinals, the Giants, the Padres, we ran a whole bunch of simulations as Neil asked for in certain, you know, certain ways. And we did it a couple of ways. We had our AI sort of pick who we thought the players were going to join and then ran it out that way. And then we also said, okay, well, let's just, you know, see what happens if they pick with the, you know, with or they go with different teams. And it was just a heck of a lot of fun. And what Neil did with the data that we delivered in writing the story was just tremendous. And I won't spoil it. I would love people to go check it out. It's been, as you hear this, you know, it should still be easily accessible on the 538 homepage. It's called We Put Bryce Harper and Manny Machado on a Bunch of Different Teams, which is exactly what we did.
Google.
And again, yeah. And what Neil Payne did with the information we gave him was superb. He's an incredibly talented artist, incredibly talented writer who I am just so thrilled that we get to do these collaborations with. It's so much fun. And it's so cool to see Out of the Park helping drive some of this stuff. So thank you, Brian. That was really fun. And again, it was a lot of hard work by a bunch of people to make it happen.
Yeah, I thought it was a good read, so I want to bring that up and recommend it. I didn't want to do too much on 2018 stuff because, look, it's February, and I feel like we've turned the page. But I thought it would be worth recognizing the winners of the 10th annual Pasta Pottery Community Awards, the PCAs.
We used to do like 2 straight episodes just on these alone, man.
Yeah. I took a break from that.
A well-deserved break,
but a lot of there's some interesting stuff here. So I'm going to run down the winners, the nominees, kind of what percent they got, and then if you want to give a brief thought on it, feel free. So we'll start with best gameplay. This was won by NBA 2K19 with 58% of the vote. NBA 2K19 has won for the 6th time this award. MLB The Show won the 2 previous years, so NBA 2K is back on top. As we talked about a little bit earlier, or I talked about, MLB The Show had a bit of a regression gameplay-wise. NHL 19 came in 2nd place with 28%. I don't think you're probably going to have an objection to 2K19 winning best gameplay, right?
No. I mean, that's the correct answer.
Okay. Best story career mode goes to NBA 2K19's My Career. This is really, I think, when you think of a story mode, NBA 2K is the first one that's going to come to mind. This has been a category, though, that's been won by a diverse group, which includes the first year of The Journey won and the first year of, what is it, Madden's
long
story
shot.
Mode. Yeah, Long Shot won. But neither of them repeated in their 2nd, or in the case of The Journey's 3rd year. NBA 2K just blew out the field here, 65%. I can't say otherwise because, like we said, the story this year was much better, and they really connected pretty well with it. It wasn't as corny, wasn't as you could skip through it a little bit if you wanted. And
it was funny. There was legit funny, and not like, you know, slap your knee funny. Just moments that you go, huh. Legit funny stuff, even. I loved it.
Yeah. This one excites you, Rich, because it's the best team building mode, and it was won by Out of the Park Baseball 19 with 52%. You may have stuffed the ballot box a little bit, but it did legitimately win. And I think it goes to show that Perfect Team connected in a certain way, because this is a category that it's been a close contest. I think this is only the 4th year for team building mode. I started it once we really got a lot of competition in that area, and it's been won by Diamond Dynasty, I think, every year, although Madden's Ultimate Team has come really close to beating it once or twice. So Out of the Park Baseball, kind of as a bit of an underdog, of course, in his first year, but maybe had an advantage in being something brand new, especially since it came out, wasn't it right at the end of 2018 or so?
Yes.
So, I mean, it was fresh on people's minds. and it turned out really well. And I'm happy for you guys that you guys were able to win that one too. I know a lot of work was going into that.
Well, I mean, I was blown away, and I'm not even joking in the slightest way. I was completely blown away that we won because we were up against the big boys. And yes, that we had some advantages in that we had just been out for probably a month or two. And obviously advantages from people that know us, they know that, you know, the work that I do with Out of the Park Developments, right? We've been doing this now for how long? 4 years, something like that. So there's obviously a lot of people in the community that know us and like us. But regardless, it's awesome. And everybody on the team was very happy to see it. It's very rewarding to know that people like what you do. Perfect Team has been amazing for us and has helped us do stuff that we wouldn't have been able to do without it. Hire some new people and add some new stuff for Out of the Park 20, which we'll be able to talk about in a few weeks. But the most important thing is it just created this whole new community. And TJ and Chris are in there every day. We have, you know, well over 2,000 people in the Discord. It's not all about Perfect Team, but like the Discord has sort of become the more of a Perfect Team hub. And the forums remain sort of the more traditional hub, but there's still people in both. And it's just been great. And I play Perfect Team all the time. It's fun. It's easy. And the thing that everybody tells me, not everybody, the two most common things I hear about why people like Perfect Team is, number one, it doesn't matter about their Twitch skills, right? It's not about being able to hit and pitch. It's just about being able to sort of mix and match and try some things out and see what happens. And then number two is that the whole season takes place over a week, and you start on a Monday and you end on a Sunday. And sometimes got a shot to win the World Series and sometimes you don't, but every week's a new week. And you can just that whole sort of the cycle of playing an entire baseball season in the course of the week has been really fun. And I totally agree with that. So I'm happy, I'm thrilled, and legit, just it's really cool that people gave us that award, because we do not we certainly respect that people have a lot of choices. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool. Two more NBA 2K wins, which really would not ever be in doubt. Best franchise mode and best presentation. No one's even close in either of these two areas, Rich.
I mean, FIFA could maybe be close. No, FIFA's not even close. And FIFA's good. Not close.
I mean, a lot of what was good about FIFA this year and in recent years is presentation and atmosphere, but it just doesn't compare.
Nope, it doesn't. NBA 2K is astoundingly good in the presentation world. Astoundingly good. And not just sort of the things you think of with presentation, like the pregame and the postgame, because I don't even watch the pregame and the postgame. I just so many little things. The commentary, I don't care about commentary, Brian. The NBA 2K commentary is fantastic. Just awesome. I hear it all the time, and it's great. They have all sorts of different people all the time. It's so good. The UI is really, I find it easy to figure out a lot more than most other games I'm able to sort of get through. And just a beautiful presentation. Everything looks top-notch in NBA 2K.
And franchise mode NBA 2K obviously has basically four of them. My League, My GM with a story, My GM without a story, or three of them, I guess. My League, My GM, and the other My GM. But they are, 2K is really the only one who's putting in considerable effort to franchise modes these days. And it shows. And I think people recognize that. It's not close in that area either. Best online play. This one went to Madden NFL 19. This category has never been won by anybody but an EA Sports game, and it's eight straight wins for Madden in this. I think it's eight straight here. So ridiculous. Madden's online is pretty reliable. Its performance is usually pretty good. I mean, of course, never is it going to be 100%, but they also support Ultimate Team really well. So those games run pretty well and consistently again. So Madden wins here, Rich. Rocket League, still in its fourth or fifth year, still getting a lot of support here in online play.
Well, Rocket League is great. My son plays it, and he plays it on the Nintendo Switch. And
does he play? He Yeah, I mean, it's one of the few games, and I still go back to this, where you can play online with other people and still have a good experience.
Exactly. And that's the only reason I let him play it, by the way, is because of that. You know, there's no headsets. I mean, there's no verbal communication going on. I don't let him play online unless I know that it's something like what Rocket League has set up, or at least what I've seen how we have Rocket League set up. So, yeah, I'm happy. I don't have any problems playing Madden online when I play. It always works for me, so I'm not surprised I won again. Not at all.
Best post-release support. This one goes to Madden NFL 19 with 55% of the vote. EA is consistently, especially with Madden, supports the game really well after release. Not just roster updates, not just patches that fix some issues and maybe make minor improvements to gameplay, but they add features, and they also really support very well Ultimate Team with a lot of content that doesn't require you to pay money. And I think that's a big part of why Madden does so well throughout the year. And it's a short season, of course. NBA 2K has a much longer tail. Madden has relevancy really from September through the end of January. So they pack a lot in to those 4 months or whatever it is. 5 months, I guess. I just did the math. I'm really smart. And so, yeah, this is another, I think EA has only ever won best post-release support with, I think, a UFC won it once and Madden. So it's just another, this is where Madden is good. I don't think anybody really adored Madden NFL 19. But again, the areas where EA has excelled as far as like online play and post-release support with Madden is still right up there.
Totally agreed. Yep.
Yeah. Best new feature. This was an interesting one. I had a field here of five nominated, and this is Madden's third award win here with the custom draft classes, which were added to franchise mode in Madden 19. That one won with 45% of the vote. Really beat out a crowd that kind of split the rest, the other 55%, pretty evenly. Well, three of them did anyway. FIFA 19 with the Champions League license got 20%. NHL scouting for its franchise mode and what they called Fog of War got 19%.
Mills
Dynamic Tactics.
That. Remember, yeah, he went crazy for it last week, and I've heard other people really like that.
Yeah, the reactions I saw were part of why I nominated that. And Dynamic Tactics in FIFA 19, 11%. And then the one that didn't get hardly any support here was the Batting Stance Creator in MLB The Show 18, which, yeah, I know. But it was a new feature, and it was a highly touted feature. I just don't think many people care to utilize it. So any thoughts on this group?
No, I mean, it's good to hear some of the new things going on. It's very hard to innovate in the franchise mode space. So these are all really cool things.
Now the big three, as far as game of the year, got the best racing game, Rich. And I know you guys have talked a lot about racing games. And for the second straight year, it was the F1 franchise that won. F1 2018 got 42%. It still kind of surprises me that F1, just based on exposure and reach of these franchises, can beat out a Forza game, but it did, Forza Horizon 4. So F1 2018 got 42%, Forza Horizon 4 got 39%. And we've had no shortage of talk on this podcast, Rich, about disappointment in Forza Horizon 4. It still seems like a lot of people really like it, but it definitely didn't. You know, like I would have thought if it was beloved by everyone, it could have easily won this category.
F1 is a tremendous game and is definitely the right answer. I can't argue with that at all. It's at a different level. And I've certainly, as you say, said more than enough about Forza Horizon 4 and am not surprised and a little validated by the fact that it seems like more people agree with me than care to admit to me when they say on social media how Forza Horizon 4 is the best racing game of all time, which drives me completely insane.
All right. Now, this is a category I've previously called the best non-yearly or new game. I'm calling it the best newcomer, even though it doesn't necessarily have to be a newcomer. It can just be a newcomer, yes, but it can also be a series that doesn't release every year because they're basically putting in multiple years of effort. It's just a different way to recognize it. It's a different way to. It's usually going to be independent games or the likes of like an EA Sports UFC that goes in every other year, or a golf club that goes in presumably every other year, although it didn't this last year. So best newcomer, the nominees were Super Mega Baseball 2, the Golf Club 2019. And Laser League, which was an interesting one, which I knew wasn't going to fare well here, but it was really creative and a lot of fun when I played that a while back and we talked about it on the show. Super Mega Baseball 2 won this with 52%. It's interesting because this was a rematch of sorts from 2015 or 2014 when the original Super Mega Baseball faced the original Golf Club, and the Golf Club barely beat it. Then this time Super Mega Baseball 2 beats out Golf Club 2019, 52% to 40%.
Wait, which game won? I missed that.
Come on, Rich.
No, wait, which was it?
You're paying attention.
I am paying attention.
Super Mega Baseball 2 won 52%.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's what I thought. I was going to say. You know, frankly, the Golf Club, I'm surprised the Golf Club didn't win because I think, you know, with getting the PGA Tour license, I there were a bunch of people that talked to me about it that were really excited about that. And as I said earlier, I've been playing it, granted, much later than it came out and really enjoying it. But yeah, Super Mega Baseball 2 is certainly well-deserving. Wonderful game. Fantastic gameplay. In every single way, a better version of the original Super Mega Baseball, which was tremendously fun. So I hope it's doing well. And everybody knows that we're good friends. Well, not good friends, but I mean, we certainly have had the guys from Metalhead Software on multiple times. And we love those guys and what they do and root for them. So glad that they won. Well-deserved. And a little bit of an upset victory over what I would have thought would have won it, which would have been the Golf Club.
Yeah, Super Mega Baseball 2, I think, benefited a little bit from people finding the show disappointing or from, obviously no baseball game being on the Xbox. So it's a little memorable for a couple of reasons there. As far as how well it's doing, I don't know other than I had a link to an article that I think Super Mega Baseball may have tweeted out, or maybe I just found it, but it was the top downloaded independently developed game on the Xbox in 2018. Pretty cool as far as
that
goes.
If that's the case, that's fantastic. Yeah. So that should mean nothing but good stuff for that studio.
Yeah.
And they're an indie studio. Like, you know, they're just a few people, a few guys and girls making games. You know, they're doing it the hard way.
Absolutely. So finally, the big one, best sports game of 2018, Rich. And just going back, previous winners last year, or, you know, from best sports game of 2017 was MLB The Show 17. Year before was MLB The Show 16. And then prior to that, it was two NBA 2Ks. And so this year, the winner was NBA 2K19, got 54% of the vote. FIFA 19 was second with 24%. And we talked about this in our Sports Game of the Year show. It's kind of a weak field, relatively speaking, this year. Or, this year. Last year, 2018, that is. But NBA 2K19 stood above the crowd, really, in many ways. And it goes to show not only did it win Best Sports Game, but it also won the most awards, won five of them. So Best Sports Game, Best Gameplay, Best Presentation, Best Story Mode, Best Franchise Mode.
Excuse me, it's the right answer. It's the best game of the year, best game of in so many ways, and happy for him. And we'll keep playing it probably through the NBA Finals. And I just can't wait to see what's coming up next year from those guys. And I know we're a long ways away, so it's not like, you know, I'm saying I can't wait for NBA 2K20, but boy, with what they got going on, I can only imagine what they got cooking for next year. It should be really interesting.
Well, Rich, I had fun catching up with you and talking about all the upcoming stuff and the recent news and who knows what else. Alliance of American Football, I guess. This we'll just rename the podcast. This will be an AAF football podcast.
We'll give you the breakdown of the Birmingham yes. Stallions on a week-to-week basis.
No, the Birmingham Iron Salt Lake Stallions. You're mixing the names together. It is not a good start.
Sorry about that. My bad.
No one's going to find us credible anymore. yeah, so had a good time, and I hope everybody out there you enjoyed the show. And take care. Till next time.